will not be heard at this time, so that we can bring you a Newlywed Game special along with the following cheeky program.
This is Gordon Pepper, and we, speaking of cheeky, we like being cheeky. We're a bunch of cheeky characters here, aren't we, Chico?
Oh, we are the cheekiest bunch of arseholes you will ever meet in the podcast.
You can say that?
I said arse, okay?
It's
British.
Okay, so speaking of British, we have a British import we have to review, and balls. And yes, I can say that. We're talking about balls, butts, and snatch. Game of love, that is. It's all legal.
Jason Elliott, you love us, right? You love us, Jason Elliott, right?
This is the only episode where we can say both of these things, and they can both be true. He's going to get hit by a giant inflatable set of balls. And then, I think you've hurt his balls on that question.
Correct. You could say it, and it would be true, and all that good stuff. Okay? So...
Okay, but enough self-flagellation. Let's get this thing started. Chico, please.
From somewhere in Ballvania, WLTI is on season 13. Let's go!
Boing, boing, boing.
Boing, boing.
Boing.
Seasons and counting. This is episode 447 of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here at 5-1. I am proud to say I am Jason Block and been here for most of it, pretty much all of it, with my brothers from another mother, Chico Alexander and Gordon Pemper. Gentlemen, welcome to season 13. Let's do this.
To season 13 to you too, Jason Block. Thank you for acting as ringmaster, I guess you could say.
Well, yes, and I actually...
A bunch of crazy lunatics over here, yes.
Yes, crazy lunatics.
So you're the ringmaster. Gordon and I are the monkeys flinging poo at each other.
Speaking of... well, that's sort of... Wow, you stopped me good. Anyway, let's start with a couple of reviews. And let's start with the big review.
For anybody right now, that is Chico at Game Show News Network.
Yes, exactly. Right on. So let us start with the Fox Amazon Prime hybrid called the 1% Club, which is a direct import of the 1% Club in the UK, which I believe is being produced by the same people, along with Prime and Fox. Now,
yes, if you've ever seen the UK or Australian version or any other version besides that, very little is different about our version. Up to 16 questions, each in increasing difficulty, but you're not being tested on what you know. You're being tested on how you think. If you use logic,
it's sort of what you know, but not in a trivia way, more of a logic sort of way.
Right. So what happens is you have 100 people in the audience who each have $1,000 in their pot, which is used as a pass. Okay.
Yeah. That's halfway through the game.
The $1,000 acts as different conduits as the game continues, as the game goes on. It can be used, as Jason said, as a pass. If you decide to use it, you can keep it and bail out with it if you wish. Or if you get to the very end and not use it, it is a super buffer, which means you automatically get it regardless, and you get a 1% question for free. So it's used in different formats throughout the process of the game. Now, if you get a question right, you stay in. If you get a question wrong, you are out. And then the money goes into the pot, which could be up to $100,000. It can be less depending on how many people bail out.
Right. And combined with the fact, and what happens is that you can bail out at the end, you can bail out at the beginning, and
bail out after the fourth question. You got to play the first four.
Right. And that is correct. And if you, like I said, if you're out, you're out, and
you're done, son.
It's done. The whole and the difficulty starts at 90 and goes down by 5%, 10%, sometimes 5%. And the winner, if you get the question right, gets the pot, which is, as you said, up to $100,000. Patton Oswalt hosts, and there is a lot to like here. Number one, the set is gorgeous, and yes, it's part of the 1% club. The questions I love these type of questions because they make you think. They make you think, and they make you go. It's not just straight trivia. We said it's logic. Second of all, Patton Oswalt is serviceable as host. He's not great. He's not good. You know, he's not super spectacular, but he's solid. Gordon, Chico.
I would have loved to have seen Victoria Cohen on this show. Okay, I'll say that right now. I would have loved to have seen either Victoria Cohen or Bradley Walsh or probably not Vernon Kay. But I would have loved to have seen either of those two. I agree with you. Patton Walsh is serviceable. You like the questions more than I do. I thought some of them were clever, but some of them we've seen before from a logical standpoint. So that sort of disappointed me here. I expected some new stuff. I did like the 1% question. I thought that was very clever and that was very good. But some of the other questions you've seen before in logic classes, like what's the highest number that you can read regular and upside down? I know that one because it's been done in math class before. So, but the set is beautiful. It's a little bit too round for my liking because everything's got to be round, apparently, in terms of that. Now, my job is to review. My job is to nitpick.
Right, of course. So, absolutely. And there is nitpicking.
There is nitpicking to be had.
And I think the pacing is off because when they do the questions and when people, you know, they focus on certain people. It's the 1 versus 100 problem, if you understand
Yes and no. They're going to focus on the people that go far or that have stories, interesting stories to tell. It's not a 1 versus 100 problem per se, but it is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In terms of that.
And another thing is the game mechanic. It is designed to be repetitive. It's like, here's the question. Here's 30 seconds. Here's me making a quip. And now the question gets answered. Now it's time to see who goes on and who goes home. Repeat ad nauseum until one person is remaining. Who, by the way, and this is another point I have contention with, can easily get a pass and go straight to the final round. If you're going to go to the final round, I'm sorry, and this is just me talking. If you're going to go to the final round, you should be able to answer the 5% question.
Well, but Chico, wait. And they don't have this in the first episode, but they do have this in the UK version of the show. They do have this on the show, which is if you hold on to the pass, then the 1% question is a free play. You automatically get $1,000. You can't lose. So there is something to be said about holding on to that pass and not using it as a freebie in the 5% question. Again, you wouldn't know that from the first episode. They have in other shows from the UK version. Yes, I do my homework. That being said, Chico, I pretty much agree with everything else that you said. It is repetitive. Yeah, sure, you can make an argument that there is a variation on the questions, but there really isn't that much of a variation on the questions. So it's like, answer questions, get it right, get it wrong, interview with contestants, rinse, repeat. And rinse, repeat.
Yeah, and really, the questions could stand to be, you know, a little bit switch-upable. I mean, you're talking about some of the most clever questions in all of television. You can stand to have a bit of a variation on a theme. And I can't wait to see what comes up with the rest of the season. Because
I'm hoping that we get stuff better than what we saw the first episode. And again, to be quite honest, and I don't mean to be that guy, but I am going to be that guy. You know, this is the first episode, and some of it is, I've seen this already. Some of them were clever in terms of questions. I mean, the questions weren't awful. They were good. But again, we've seen them before. And I really hope there's variation on that. I think if you're a puzzle person, this is the show that you want. You're going to come back and like it. It is fun. let's take again, if you don't mind, a show that does have, as Chico says, and he's right, excessive padding to it. But there is a lot here to like. It does not get an A from me, so sorry. But it's pretty good. I'd definitely watch it. I'll go solid B.
Solid B is the right answer here. There are problems with the show. It's not a great show, but it is a very good show. So B is the right answer.
I'm giving it an A.
Oh my God, really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is the sort of show that was scratching my itch ever since I saw the UK and Australian versions. Now we have a version of our own, and it's just as good as, it's not better than the UK or Australian version, but it's just as good. I like it a lot. I like the format. I like the structure. I like the questions. I like Patton Oswalt. I really, really do. So there's a lot to like about it. There's some things to dislike, but not enough to take away from the overall production.
All right, fine. Well, you've dinged shows for being repetitive before, but okay. Next one, again, also on Fox, The Quiz with Balls, hosted by Jay Farrow, I believe.
Yeah, you are correct.
Yeah. So what do we got with that one?
Okay, we have two teams of five competing in five rounds of multiple choice trivia, up to five rounds of multiple choice trivia, I should say. And the correct answers, you will remain dry. But if you answer a question incorrectly, one of your teammates is going for a dive, courtesy of one of six inflatable balls rolling down a ramp heading towards your backside. I'll explain. Every question on the show has multiple correct answers corresponding to the number of your team at present. Like, there are six ramps. The first question that you get will have five correct answers. And let's just say one of you gets eliminated. And once you're eliminated, you're done. You're out. That's it. Game over. Here, have a free terry cloth towel robe. If you have four people in the next round, your next question is going to have four answers, four correct answers. And questions in round one are worth $1,000 per correct answer. Questions in round two are worth $2,000 per correct answer. And so on and so forth until the fifth and final round. Now, games theoretically can end at round three if you really suck at this game. And theoretically, you can have the most money in your bank and still lose if you get all of your teammates knocked out. The one team with the most money and the most dry players will go on to take on the $100,000 question, which has five correct answers. You have to nail all five correct answers by yourself in order to win the money. But whatever you get in the front game is yours to keep no matter what happens. Now, there is a bit of strategy here that I like. And I think it's really sneaky and really evil, but also really genius. Let's just say you have a teammate who knows everything. That would be Jason Block in this case.
Okay.
It would be me.
It would be Gordon. Fine. Okay. That's fine.
All right. You know what? It would be Gordon. You want to put him at the answer that you are the most sure of.
I'm going to put Jason at Chickadoodle in terms of breeds of dogs, because I want to see him get wet.
Mm-hmm.
You would. Anyway.
I would. Anyway.
So there's a bit of strategy here that I really, really like. And, you know, all of the zaniness aside, and Jay Farrow is very zany. I'm not even going to pretend he's not. It's actually a really clever game. Am I crazy in thinking this?
You are absolutely crazy. This thing is absolute trash. The fact of the matter is, you just gave it away. You said, even if the players have more money, if the team members are screwed, that doesn't matter. That's a bad game mechanic. That's an awful game mechanic. And that just shows to me that this should not have even gotten out of pitch room. This is strike programming at its worst.
Okay, I'm going to go between both of you. So here's what I like and what I don't. Jay Farrell, very good. The hosting is very good. Chico, how long is the show exactly?
It's an hour. It could have been a whole lot less, by the way.
Yeah. So let's discuss that. So that for me would be an issue. There's a lot of issues that I have with this show. Number one, that. Number two, the questions. Okay, I guess they're sort of run of the mill. There wasn't anything that I thought was clever or sneaky. They could have used some of the writers from the 1% Club to show up on this show.
Right.
You know, it's straight standard run of the mill trivia. If something like that, I wanted better. The pacing is terrible. I get it. There's a lot of trash talking, but this could easily have been 2 half-hour shows. And I understand budget and stuff like that, but it seems like it could have been 2 half-hour shows and nobody would have been the wiser. You want to talk repetitiveness. You thought 1% Club was bad in terms of repetitiveness. This is get behind balls. Hope you don't fall. Repeat.
Yeah, this is. And it slogs. It is a slog. I watched this and lost track of what rounds we were actually playing. It's a slog.
I almost lost track of sleeping at this point. So, again, the good news, yeah, sure, there is a show behind it. The bad news, and it's what Jason Block said, and he's absolutely right, this could have and should have been a lot better. There needs to be theme and variation. The one good thing about this is that, yeah, Jay Farrow is really good. He is a star in the making. He needs to get a better vehicle on this. C-minus for me. Sorry, I can't feel this. Well, wait a second. You're the person that said that you liked the show and you thought it was great.
No, I thought the strategy behind the show was great. I didn't say the show was great.
The strategy is not existent on this show. You obviously stick to that's a very razor-thin strategy at its not-so-finest. I mean, obviously, you stick the best player with the most sure answer.
Yeah.
So,
I'm giving this show a D for drip.
No, I am giving this a... I can't fail it because it's got Jay Farrell, but this is just awful. D minus. It's terrible. It should not have gotten
Jay Farrell gets an A and bails out the show. There is something here with the show. I get the mechanic with the balls and stuff like that. You should have had so much more theme and variation on this. This show could be a hit. It needs to be better in so many different ways, and I'm certainly not going to cancel it. I mean, I'm certainly not going to fail it. You know, there is something there. It's just not fleshed up and developed enough. Sorry.
So let us go quickly to Los Angeles, California, and talk quickly about AGT for a bit, if that's okay. Because it was.
Oh yeah, that's fine. Because we had two. It was a premiere. It was a premiere show. We had two.
And we have a new rule. And we have a couple of new rules.
What's that?
Okay. First of all, we get more golden buzzers. Okay.
Woo-hoo.
All the golden buzzers. Yay.
There are now 9 of them. Okay. Each judge gets 2 and Terry gets 1. No audience buzzer. Okay. And no group buzzer. Okay. Now, Terry already used his on. Who did he use it on? Oh, yes. Learnmore Jones. Okay. Who, by the way.
Learnmore Janassi.
Janassi, excuse me. Yes. By the way, thank you to MJ's Big Blog for doing all the work that I needed to do because every one of them is a media hoe in one way or the other. Okay.
Hold on. I've got a thingy for that.
No, I'm just talking about every one of, you know, like everyone. Okay.
Everybody has a TikTok following and everybody's got a social media page. Welcome to 2024.
Well, no, he's also been on Comedy Central and won the Steve Harvey Spotlight Award. The other one, who is, I will just say, more legitimately amateur than I have seen in a long time, okay, is the one who got Heidi's buzzer, and that's Richard Goodall, who is an elementary school custodian who has a powerful voice. Good. I hope he is legitimately as amateur as he's giving off to be.
I hope we see more of him, because he's giving me Kevin Skinner vibes, if you remember that far back.
I do. I do. Exactly. So some of the other ones are Shia, the horror dance, the horror contortionist girl, was on the Indian Kids Dance Show Super Dancer Chapter 4 and has been on an Indian TV show. Okay. Ashley Montague was actually on AGT before in season 9, Gordon, as Richard and Ashley.
I remember her.
Okay. Yeah. Baby Dev is a TikTok mathematician. That was so cute. Not going to win, but it was cute. The plunger kid, nah, not so much. The two dogs, the Basset Hound and the Bloodhound. That was funny in its own way.
Clifford.
Right, Los Osos High School. Dance crew. Raina Roberts, who by the way
the high school group is fairly amateur.
Yes, they are. Sort of, kind of. Raina Roberts, not an amateur, because she was on Beyonce's Blackbird from Cowboy Carter. Also part of Next Women in Country. By the way, do you remember another group? Yeah. Raina was
Jay,
also...
So, you're talking about Chapel Heart, correct?
That is exactly who I'm talking about. So, Raina is in good company, correct. And Sam Wong, who did that finger magic bit, I was like, whoa! That was, to me, that was impressive. Okay? So, and I'm sorry, I'm wearing pants, Tony Kaku. The Japanese nude comedian. I'm sorry, dumb as hell, but it was funny.
Hey, America's Got Talent is nothing without Tarento.
Yes, but it was funny.
And it's nothing without deep creativity, apparently.
Of course, those with the acts that appeared on the premiere will be keeping tabs on the show as we go into lives and finally the final later this summer.
Hey, now, those are the ones that usually don't win that show up on the premiere episode.
Usually not. No, I don't. I'd say maybe one or two. So let us go to the workroom as we continue RuPaul's All-Stars 9, the good format. The good format.
Yay.
You know?
And today we are talking about Snatch Game.
Of love. The top two queens will also receive two badges and one for themselves and one for another of their choosing. Okay. Yes.
The queens are actually split into two groups. One is going to be vying for the love of Kevin Berlin, a.k.a. Monet Exchange. And those queens are Andrea Paris Van Michaels as Marla Gibbs, I mean No Place Child, and Jorge as John Leguizamo as Manny the Fanny. Roxy Andrews is Tasha Salad, a fictional character Roxy portrayed in Drag Race Season 5 and All-Stars 2, and Chanel as Liberace. Jason, I believe you have the other one.
I do. For David's Love is Got Mick as Pal, who was a dog, a legitimate dog, okay? The one who played Lassie, okay? Nina West was Liberace. Everyone wanted to be Liberace. Plastique Tiara as Ali Wong and Vanessa Vanjie as Cleopatra.
All right. David Petrucian, a.k.a. Raven.
Right. Now, can I say the name?
Let me stop you off here right now, and then I'll let you keep going. This is one of the reasons why this is a correct format for All Stars. The queens go out of the way to be absolutely bizarro. They know there's no reason to play it safe. So they go for it. This is exactly what you want to see in All-Stars. You want to see Goofy. You don't want to see, well, I'm just doing this and I'm not in the bottom. There's no penalty for trying to be Goofy on this. This is what makes this format awesome. They can go for broke every single time. And in this episode, they did. Very awesome results.
Now, can we say this title on air?
The sleeper. Okay, the runway category this week is a tale and two. Guest judging this week is recording artist Anita and
Carson Kressley.
And the top two queens, that would be Gottmik and Nina West. Congratulations to them. They're going to
We're going to have more on this, by the way, later on in the show.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because something happened here that was controversial that I loved, that I thought made such a powerful statement, which ticked off a whole bunch of people. But hey, that's...
Is that in Haterade?
A little bit on Haterade, yeah.
Okay, fine. We'll come back to it. Okay.
Yep. The lip sync this week is Banana by Anita featuring Becky G. All this talk about butts and other parts of that's like a theme all of a sudden.
Right, exactly. So Gottmik and so Gottmik won the legacy and cut off Georges, but we won't know who gets the other badges till next episode. So as of this week, Gottmik has got two wins in a row, two badges, and the only people who do not have badges at this point are Roxy, Chanel, and Vanessa. Okay? That's it. Everyone else has one. That's Angeria, Georges, Nina West, and Plastique Tiara. So... All right. Moving on to Milwaukee, where we get ourselves a good old-fashioned county fish boil. A county fish boil. So the Quickfire Challenge was a meat raffle with guest judge Art Smith. Remember him? It's been a while. He drew the contestants' names from the bingo cage, determining their selection order. And it was first come, first serve, and they got Wagyu ribeye, Chateaubriand, luncheon meat, ground chicken, bologna, coarse corned beef, and lamb chops. They had 30 minutes to create their dish with the chosen protein. The winner was Savannah, who won $10,000 for a crispy corned beef and beet salad, creme fraiche, and pickled celery. Okay? Now, the elimination challenge, they had to go to Door County, which is the easternmost county in the state of Washington, in a beachside fish boil. They were all provided the same whitefish to use in their dishes, and they had to make two sides. In addition, the contestant shopping was done by six Top Chef alumni. Top Chef Boston winner Mei Lin.
I love this, by the way. I absolutely love the twist on this.
Okay. Top Chef California Jeremy Ford. Top Chef Boston runner-up and Top Chef All-Stars LA finalist Gregory Gourdet. Top Chef Kentucky. Top Chef World All-Star runner-up Sarah Bradley. And Top Chef Portland runner-up Shota Nakajima. And Top Chef Kentucky competitor Justin Shudland. Savannah chose Shota to shop for her, and they all the others were randomly assigned. The dishes were served at Grand Park Beach to the 100 guest diners, the judges, and all-stars, and the winner received an advantage in the next challenge, and Danny won it with his sofrito boil, salsa verde, carrot slaw, French bean and bonito salad, and Sue's pineapple curry fish boil, fish sauce beurre blanc, and twice-cooked potatoes with crispy corn miso slaw is out.
Now Sue gets to go back to the future, or in this case, back to Last Chance Kitchen. If you remember, there is not one but two women waiting for him when he gets there.
That is correct. That is correct. And in the finale of Last Chance Kitchen, Amanda, Laura, and Sue had to make cohesive dishes, including elements from every quickfire challenge of the season. Hops, cherries, sauce, dairy, flambe, cranberries, and a meat raffle protein. Kristen Kitsch.
Now, obviously, this might to at a huge disadvantage, because you got to remember, he wasn't on the show at the first couple of quick fires.
That's correct.
So whereas the contestants have had one round of knowing what to do, Sue doesn't. So some of the ingredients, this is his first time playing around with. So unlike the other contestants, he gets no practice, and that comes to bite him at the end because he gets knocked out at this point.
Correct.
All right. So then we have our second one.
Right. The final. Amanda, we're given 30 minutes to cook a great plate of food. And Laura wins and goes back to the regular game for the final three episodes, because we are down to actually four episodes. We're down to two in Wisconsin. Do we know where they went? They filmed the finale. Was it in Europe somewhere? Do we know?
I'm looking.
I don't know yet.
Okay, but we'll find out in 2 weeks. Tonight, though, it's all about the kids as we end this segment. Right. This is Superfan Junior episode. And these are kids who are playing, and what I loved is that the kids were not playing for cars until the end. Jacob wins a photo booth and instant camera and wins $22,000 on Plinko. $23,000 on Plinko, excuse me. Okay. Connor wins a $5,500 vending machine and plays Pushover and wins a trip for four to the Nickelodeon Resorts in Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, which is worth $19,259. Okay. Lacey plays Cliffhanger and wins a wrecked vehicle package, including ATVs, dirt bikes, mountain bikes, and a halo board, an all-terrain hoverboard, helmet, and goggles worth about $10,000. Very well done. So Emma is playing Grand Game for up to $20,000, and man, did they want her to win this. I'll explain how. Okay? The products are Keebler AL Fudge Cookies with M&Ms. It's a 9.75-ounce bag. A 4-ounce bottle of Mucinex Children's Cold Medicine. 12 ounces of Jet Puff Marshmallows from Kraft. Campbell's Chicken O's Soup, a 10.5-ounce can, an 8-ounce box of Welch's Fruit Snacks, and a 20-count package of Hebrew National Franks.
Okay, so this is Grand Game, and the target for this Grand Game is...
$8.
$8.
All right, so what are the items again?
Cookies, cold medicine, marshmallows, soup, fruit snacks, and... Hebrew National Beef Franks.
Is it one Hebrew National Beef Frank?
20
counts. 20.
Gee, I have a feeling the Franks and the cold medicine are the things to avoid.
Correct.
Yep.
The cold relief is...
The
cold relief is $12.99. The hot dogs are $16. When I saw that, I was like, they're giving it away.
Okay, it's 20 hot dogs. Not just any hot dogs, Hebrew National.
They already answer to a higher authority.
And they're priced as such.
Yes.
And then we have Zoe, who won 5 pairs of Air Jordans. Hello. And then wins a party room and a science room in Switch.
And those are very cool. I mean, the party room had a dance floor, DJ lights, digital piano, an electronic drum kit, electric guitar. And the science room had an Apple Mac, Studio Max, 5K monitor, a toy box, a 3D printer, and a science table with Microsoft. This was awesome. This was great. And unfortunately for Jake, this was painful.
Oh, no.
He loses pick a pair for a trip to Japan for four, including a six-night stay at the Park Hotel Tokyo, daily breakfast, a trip to the Pokemon Center in Mega Tokyo, bullet train transfers to Osaka with day passes to Nintendo World.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, he, okay, so the game is pick a pair, all right? So, he's got a choice of French honey mustard. French is 12 ounces of honey mustard, a 59-ounce bottle of Minute Maid strawberry lemonade, Cheetos hot chips, a bag, small bag, 8 ounces of chicken nuggets, Annie's organic frozen waffles, and Tom's children's toothpaste. He picks the snacks at $2.49, the toothpaste at $8.99. He picks the snack, keeps the snacks at $2.49, picks the honey mustard, which was $4.99. The juice drink was $2.49.
Man. So right. We go to the showcase. Connor,
and these were
has
bonkers. These were crazy.
Jason, calm yourself, man. I know you're like the biggest kid I've ever met, but calm yourself.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the first showcase, Connor has his mother Lisa helping out, and like Jason said, it's bonkers. It's a trip for four to Orlando, including passes to the Grove Resort and Water Park. And passes to Disney World. Gonna ride me Tron Light Cycle, baby. And then we have Apple Series 9 smartwatches and a 2023 Glacier White Audi Q5 40 TFSI Quattro. Connor and his mother bid $65,000.
I thought they were over, honestly. Okay.
I think that was right.
Then Emma is going to have the best sleepover ever with a home theater, four genuine leather seats, a 70-inch 4K UHD smart TV, and a popcorn maker and cart. Then if you want to take it outside, you can have a camping package, which includes a smokeless fire pit with stand, 50 feet of string lights, s'mores grill, roasting set, four sleeping bags and four chairs, along with a 19-foot R-Pod Forest River trailer with shower, kitchen, microwave, air conditioner, and classic package. But if they really want to have the most ultimate sleepover ever, they could do it on a European Viking cruise from Basel, Switzerland for four, and an 8-day Rhine River cruise in two staterooms, and then coach airfare back from Amsterdam. They bid $45,000. Let me start with them, okay, Chico? You can take the first
one. Okay.
So their price was $66,434, a difference of $21,434.
Okay.
But did Connor go over?
Connor's bid was $65,000. The actual retail price, $71,307, with a difference of $6,307. Connor wins a total of $96,150. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Including the Audi, the trip to Costa Rica, the vending machine, the trip to Orlando, and the smartwatches. Not a bad day, if you ask me.
Nope, I'll tell you right now, in total, our kids racked up a bill of $199,900, and that is not including a backpack for every kid in the audience.
And also the coding robot, too.
So, in total, you're looking at $200,000.
Indeed. And that's a fine way to end Act 1. How are we going to finish the show?
We going to finish the show? I have a sledgehammer.
Ah, because we're going to kill the toilet.
We are going to kill the toilet, but not before we go over all the news you didn't even know you needed to know. With Gordon Pepper and Chico Alexander, I'm Jason Block. That's wrong. With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander. It's the 13th season, guys.
We got to get it right sometime.
I know. Stick and stay with 5-1, your home for We Love to Interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 other bloopers that Chico Alexander has had when he's clearly had too much brewski in his system.
I am stone cold sober, Gordon.
That's scary. That's scary.
Survey says.
Nobody asked you, soundboard. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Brain Vision is presented by The Ball with Quizzes. Just when you thought you've seen it all, we have a fancy dress ball and a trivia quiz breaks out of it. Yeah, this sounds like the kind of thing that would happen at the Quiz Show Expo this weekend in Burbank. That's The Ball with Quizzes. That sounds like a
By the way,
idea.
more on the Quiz Show Expo later on, but not a lot of time and a lot of news to cover. So,
yep, Gordon, if you would please,
roll that beautiful green footage
from the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe. This is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Hi, thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media, Doug Morris Games at Rock 104 Rock Tracks and at Tracks Productions. And please listen to Doug Morris every Sunday as he hosts Rock Tracks on Rock 104, WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 FM, all over the Pine Belt and all over the known
multiverse
on Rock104FM.com, that's the live stream, and on the Odyssey and Rock 104 apps at your favorite app store. Right now, you can download them. Okay, Jason gave me this little nugget, and I have the list right here, so I'm just going to hit this button here.
It's business. It's business time. I don't know what you're trying to say.
I have the top 100 baseball bats of the last season, and the winners, the Golden Bachelor, Survivor, and Game Shows. The losers, NCIS, Basic Cable, and Paramount Network.
Well, I have some numbers per se. We actually have the top 100 shows, but okay, and let's just give some numbers here. The highest show that is for us, okay, I mean, for the BS, it's all football, 1, 2, 3, okay? Sunday, Monday, Thursday. But if you want to talk game shows and reality shows, The Voice is 21 and 23. Survivor is 27 with about 6 million. Golden Bachelor is 31. Dancing with the Stars is 34, so we know that's coming back. American Idol is 39. Price is Right at Night is 45. AGT Fantasy League is 46. Wow, okay. Amazing Race, 47. Celebrity Jeopardy, 48. That's coming back. Masked Singer, 50. Bachelor, 52. Price is Right at Night on Fridays is 58. Big Brother was 61 and 62. Deal or No Deal is 63. Big Brother is 66. Celebrity Wheel of Fortune, 67. Price is Right at Night is 68. The Floor is 72. Let's Make a Deal at Primetime is at 75. Passwords at 76. Pyramid is at 78. Next Level Chef is 80. Hell's Kitchen is 82. Tied with Let's Make a Deal Primetime. Pressure Luck is 85. Bachelor Paradise 87. Weakest Link is 88. Ray the Cage is 92. The Wall is 94. And Let's Make a Deal Primetime. What a banner year for primetime game shows, Gordon. That's like,
well, I temper it a little bit, because part of the reason why you had all those game shows to begin with was the strike and the striking, and they needed,
yes,
they needed
combat. That is true.
Being said, the fact that they were all in the top 100 says something about game shows, says something about the longevity of it. And even the ones that we yelled at for being strike programming, a bunch of them still did very, very well.
Yes,
people still like them, and they don't show any signs of going away.
Yeah, and of the top 100 shows on television this last season, 36 of them were quiz, game, and reality programming.
Oh, so you did the count.
And if you add sports to that, that's close to 50, by the way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you would have to think sports is a form of competition. It's not Jeopardy, but it is still competition.
By the way, The Floor is the only fully original format to make the top 100.
Well, when you're saying fully original, I mean, they're all fully original. When you're saying fully original, what you're really meaning is it's the new game show that is not a reboot.
Yes. Or a retread of something.
And congratulations to all the production teams who did well on that.
The production teams, the writers, the producers. You know, we sometimes, as a community, don't give the producers and the directors of game shows a lot of credit. There is a lot more that goes into a game show than most humans think.
Agreed.
So much. But and I would say, even argumentatively, even more in that genre goes internally than most other ones. No offense to most other ones. So congratulations to anybody that has done anything there, especially if your show gets renewed, especially in this current television climate.
Agreed. But we're getting some, what's the word I'm looking for? We're getting some legit business then, right, Chico?
Yes.
So what's happening?
All right, so if we could get semi-serious here, IATC and AMPTP are going back to the table. They have scheduled negotiations starting this week. In fact, they started yesterday, and according to IATC International President Matthew D. Loeb, this negotiation is fundamentally about ensuring the employers respect our right to get off our feet and get some rest during a long workday to get home safely and see our families and have some economic stability. The work will continue next week, meaning this week, when we resume our talks with the employers.
So which contract is this for, Chico? Because there's still a bunch of them that need to be renewed.
This is between AMPTP and IATSE, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees.
Yeah, and this is a really important one to get done. Because unlike the other ones, if IATSE goes down, everything goes down.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yep.
So please get it done.
Yeah, please, because we don't want another strike. We really don't. But we need to talk about a date book. And I will talk about that. So Thursday, as we record this, is the season premiere of OutChefed on Food and Max. Friday is the Celebrity Family Food Battle on Roku. Monday is the premieres of American Ninja Warrior, Name That Tune, The 1% Club, that will be the Amazon episode broadcasting on Fox, Battle on the Beach, and the premiere of Beat the Bridge, which we will be reviewing that a couple of shows next week. And next Tuesday is the Ultimate Fighter, Team Grassi versus Team Shevchenko. Ah, yes, the testosterone film premiere, which is all good by any stretch. And that is, and I believe Grassi versus Shevchenko is, there's that might be UFC 306 in September, maybe. But let's talk about that app, though, and a very cool event happening this weekend. And Chico, you're going to talk all about it because I legitimately can't for reasons.
Oh, yeah. Quiz Show Expo is this coming weekend in Los Angeles. The first of its kind in-person convention for TV game show fans and enthusiasts by TV game show fans and enthusiasts. Some of the more recent names added. Adam Needham's going to be there. The Remotes are going to be there. The Go Fact Yourself podcasts are going to be there. The Betty White Silent Auction's going to be there. And something that came down the pike this morning. Mark Maxwell Smith is one of the unsung heroes of the genre, let me tell you. He did Supermarket Sweep, Masters of the Maze, Hollywood Squares, and one show that we absolutely love was Talk About from 1991. Why am I bringing this up? Because he...
I don't know, Chico. Why are you bringing this up?
I'm glad
actually,
you asked
that. I do know.
He is teaming up with Toyetic, that is Toyetic Toys, to bring Talk About back. Details of the reboot are still under wraps, but Mark Maxwell Smith has signed a comprehensive licensing agreement with Toyetic Brands, founded by Dan Rowan, a longtime toy industry and tabletop game innovator, to develop an extensive line of board games based on the Talk About property. That will include board games, card games, and mobile game apps negotiated by Gen Com Imagination. So, yeah, that's something to look forward to, the possible return of Talk About.
That would be smart. And that would be fun, because Talk About is a very fun, smart show.
It is very fun. It is very smart. This, however, is neither of those.
That's dumb.
Are you smarter than Sean Kingston? Now, we could talk about him because he was what? Or is it just
Well, he
dumb?
Performed on American Idol, for starters.
Oh, there you go. So he is and his mother are being arrested for 10 charges in Florida regarding $1 million in fraud, including one count of organized scheme to fraud, four counts of criminal use of personal identification, two counts of grand theft more than $100,000, one theft greater than $20,000, and one count of fraud. And his mother was arrested for similar reasons. And by the way, his mother already served a year and a half in prison for bank fraud in 2006.
Yeah, stealing over $160,000 for that. But the warrants.
By the way, the key word here, and I haven't heard it yet, allegedly.
That is true. Allegedly. That's right. You're right. But she did serve jail for real. So that's not an alleged part.
No, that one's not allegedly. But the other stuff is.
Yes.
So again, not guilty until proven such.
Correct. Absolutely. Yes. That is true.
Now we've got a trio of things for the Haterade. So I'm going to bring out the summertime keg here.
Oh, please.
Haterade!
I can't drink too much of that. It's got too much sugar and I'm on a diet. I've lost nearly 10 pounds.
Yeah, congratulations, Jay.
Thank you.
Good for you, Jay.
Awesome. Yep. Okay, so the first one's rather easy. Lovers and Liars of the CW, that's gone.
Range. Where's the brain? Where's the brain?
Range.
All right. Second, Sorry.
I said thank you.
Okay. Second. Second is the end of the Sia prize. We all remember Sia, who, aside from being a recording artist, is a longtime Survivor fan who would randomly...
Super fan.
Oh, yeah. Put some respect on it. Yeah. She's a Survivor super fan who would give her favorite castaways cash donations. That is not happening anymore. According to Jeff Probst, over the many years, Sia has brought so much joy to so many players, and it was always straight from her heart. So it is with tremendous gratitude and admiration to Sia that we bring to a close one of the most unique relationships a TV show could ever have with a pop star of Sia's global wattage. Yeah.
It's interesting because Hugh Burdette has offered to take up the reins for a little bit, saying that he would donate $20,000 of his Cumeo money. Get it? Play on Cameo. Cumeo. So if you spend some, the more money you spend on him, the greater chances that he will give out $20,000 of his own, which I think, by the way, that's a very clever marketing tool.
Yes. Smart? Not sure, but I understand.
Well, if he's going to be able to take away $20,000 and donate it, that means that he's almost certainly made more than enough money to cover that.
That's true.
Uh-huh. And Gordon, you alluded to this. So I'm just going to let you have this last one. This is, what kind of controversy did Drag Race come up with this week?
Well, not controversy as much as a statement. So, and it's not RuPaul's Drag Race as much as Got Nick. In the fashion one, we called A Tale of Two, which rhymes with itty bitty, and we're not talking polka dot bikinis. Mm-hmm. Got Nick, who is trans, by the way, had a runway of, to say the itty bitty, being removed and cut in a very graphic scene, which is one of the reasons why Gottmik won that challenge as a trans person, and literally walked down there doing or showing or explaining trans op surgery with the removal of said boobicus. Needless to say, a number of people were very against that, and the hate for that reached noticeable volumes, which to them I say, go yourself.
Agreed.
So, yeah.
Well, we'll put it to you this way. If you're expecting Gottmik to be, you know, in the middle, you haven't watched Drag Race. Gottmik has been one of the most loud, and I mean that in the best way possible, trans activist queens on the show. So, yeah.
If Gottmik is known for one thing, it is for slaughtering golden calves.
Agreed. But let us go to, speaking of Gottmik and Drag Race, let us go to Mexico, shall we?
Have the lineup for season 2 of Drag Race Mexico, which will premiere on June 20th on WOW Presents Plus here in the States. They are Unique from Aguascalientes, Suculenta from Mexico City, Nina de la Fuente from Mexico City, Maria Bonita from Monterrey, Luna Lanzman from Mexico City, Licha Fox from Mexicali, Jenny Bloom from Guadalajara, Ignis Ars from Aguascalientes, Horacio Potasio from Guadalajara, Garcon from Querétaro, Ava Blunt from Mexico.
Oh, God, wow. Woo, that's a
Mexico
little
City. Electra Vandergaard.
That's very blunt, actually.
Blunt. That's James Blunt is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Electra Vandergeld from Mexico City and Ava Pocket from Tampico.
No, that's Ava Pocket. Get it?
Ava Pocket.
Get it? Ava Pocket now?
Yeah.
Okay, and that will, and then see the let's see.
June 20 and And as a reminder, it is hosted by Queen of the Universe Season 2 winner Taiga Brava and Drag Race France alum Lolita Banana.
Okay. There you go. And by the way, that will be on WoW Presents Plus. Oh, no, no, no. We'll be on WoW Presents Plus.
WoW Presents Plus, June 20th.
Yes.
But WoW, and WoW has done a historical job of presenting media pros, but I want more.
Yep, we want all. And there's an obvious winner here.
I got pros. I got pros. In different area codes. Area codes.
Well, before we get to the obvious winner, we obviously have to go over some peak performers here. We lost Bill Walton, Claudia Perry, Morgan Spurlock, and Daryl Hickman this week.
Yes.
Yeah, not a good week this week to be a celebrity.
No, and of course, Claudia Perry, great Jeopardy contestant and great ambassador to the sport of baseball. Did you know she was the president of Sabre?
I did.
That was okay.
The first black female to be president of Sabre, if I'm not mistaken. Tenley Molzon welcomes baby number 2. Bob Barker is honored with a new boat dedication. Pat Finn and Jamie Farr, both going to be at the Quiz Show Expo. Vanna White dresses her future on wheels. She still has 2 years left on her deal. Jimmy Kimmel's son had his third open heart surgery. Bravest 7-year-old boy I've ever known. Steph and Aisha Curry welcome baby number 4.
Was the squirrel giving the announcement?
4.
4.
Well, it definitely adds intrigue to hole in one.
Oh, damn! Okay!
Good night, everybody.
Keep going.
Okay, but none of them are your pro of the week, and your pro of the week is everybody involved with the following clip, courtesy of Sony Pictures Television. Some moments don't need any words. Let's just roll it, okay?
Tavares, right in the butt.
What?
No. Blake.
This is the best.
Yeah, that's it, I think, yeah.
Much better answer.
Now, the reason why that was so great was Alex Braun and about 80 Wheel of Fortune alumni went to that week's taping, and they were loud and they were boisterous, and it was a great week to watch Wheel that particular week. That was a big money week, by the way, for
yes.
And we are right now, as we talked about this, 7 shows done from Pat's final show on June 7th.
Yes.
And those are your pros.
And that is Braid Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
I'm shutting it down right now. And I'm bringing out the sledgehammer and the super toilet. This is going to be the final part of the summer, push or flush. And then we'll have that right after this here at 5-1. This is We Love to Interrupt. We'll be right back.
WLTI has been brought to you by Storm Cockatee's Castle, the Big Falls Edition. If you remember, the American version had math, so let's just add trivia, balls, wipeout, and a whole lot of fun. That is Storm Cockatee's Castle, the Quiz with Falls Edition. I think Chico would enjoy that, wouldn't you, Chico?
I like seeing people get hit with balls.
I know you would. However, do you like people smashing toilets?
Well, we're going to do that in about 9 shows, because this is the final edition for this summer of Push or Flush. We have 8 shows. We will review them in 5 different ways, or preview them in 5 different ways. If we like it, we push it. We kind of like it, we pastry it. If we're in the middle, we piggle it. And if we don't like it, we jiggle. And if we really don't like it, we flush it. 3 flushes is a clog. And let's start with a show that I don't think will even get close to that part of it. On June 4th. Bell, please.
Yeah, this Tuesday, The Ultimate Fighter. We talked about this in the date book, and I'll tell you right now, I'm looking forward to it very much. Thank you very much. It is a push for me.
This is fun. It's always been fun. Your mileage may vary with this show. I personally like it. Push.
Yes, I'm gonna push this as well, because again, this is one of the best sports shows on TV. Victory roll, please. Next up, Chico, you have the date. Because I'm away from my computer.
Yes, I have July 10th. Jimmy Kimmel returns to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire to celebrate the 25th anniversary. You know?
Yeah.
It's hard to drive this show. It really is. I mean, it is the preeminent quiz show for our time. It is, and Jimmy Kimmel does a serviceable job, so I'm going to give it a push.
You have no idea. This is absolutely the wrong thing that people do. Let me give you 3 reasons why this is actually a piggle for me. 1, no civilian contestants. They're doing this for charity. 2, this is the 25th anniversary, and they're just doing this. And Jimmy Kimmel is not a good host at all. He is not serviceable. Piggle. I'm sorry. Yeah, piggle for me. And I hate to say that.
You hate to say that. You're going to hate what I'm going to have to say. No civilians. They're probably not bringing back that app, which was at least if you didn't like the fact that it was there, you've heard nothing about the app, and you would have heard something about the app by now. They're bringing back everything that I hated about the show, and nothing that actually made Millionaire. So I'm sorry, if you didn't like the pickle, you're going to hate me even more. Flush.
Good for you. Good for you for having the balls to say that. Good for you, because I wanted to, but I was being nice. Because I'm number one.
You know what? Both of us were on contestants on Millionaire at one point or another. You made 100 times more than I did, even though I was pulled from the audience. I loved what Millionaire was under Meredith Vieira, under Regis Philbin, under Cedric the Entertainer. Obviously, my homeboy Terry Crews, because he gave me $1,000.
Under Chris Harrison. Don't forget him. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And the others, too. There's a multitude of guests and guest hosts that were on here. And they made what Millionaire was great. And it was. And I'm not trying to dilute the show at all or poo-poo the show at all. I think it's great that they're bringing it back. However, if you're going to bring the show back, bring what made the show work. Bring back the civilians. You know what? And I'll even say this. And the way that Jimmy Kimmel did it with the civilians and the people in the back and that, yeah, you were fudging the game around a little bit, but it was still with civilians, and you still had the heartwarming stories, and you still had, again, what made Millionaire great.
Yeah, it was the first set.
The first set of, and even the first set of celebrities, when you had, you know, Kathy Lee Gifford and others go in, it still felt heartwarming. And I'm really hoping, yeah, I know you're playing for charity, but could it hurt sticking a civilian in the back saying you're not just playing for charity, you're playing for a civilian? anything, but this is a fossil of what made this show great, and it pains me to flush, but bring back what made this show good.
I agree with you.
And
I agree.
And it makes me sad.
Makes me very sad. Let's see if we can make us happier. What's next?
Next up, Kevin and Franklin Jonas hosting Claim to Fame Season 3. How
okay,
are they going to change this up, I wonder?
You know what? They don't have to. They don't have to. This is actually one of the biggest surprise hits for me. And it's you know, I'm not a fan of the show, but I'm a fan of what it is. And this is what actually We Are Family tried to do and just couldn't do it. This is a hard pastry for me. I like this show.
It's a hard pastry for me, too. And if you want to go even further back than We Are Family, Jay, there's a show called Relatively Speaking. It's on Tubi right now. They had, like, celebrities and their relatives. The first episode aged poorly, so... Yeah, check that out. But I like this, too. Give it a pastry. Gordon?
I'm with the band on line one, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
If we really want to go old school, you know, let's go back in the era of MTV where they try to do that sort of stuff. I'm not as much in love with the show as you guys are, but I get the appeal. It's a pickle for me, but I get it. I'm not going to flush it. I'm not going to poo-poo it. It's got its fans. I'm not one of them, and maybe it's because it's a little bit too close to home for me because you guys know my background.
Yeah.
But, you know, I understand. Pickle.
Let's just say two of us have been on CDs before. Sorry, Jason. Next up, Julie Chen Moonves brings back the House on the Radford lot in season 26 of Big Brother.
Unfortunately, the problems that Big Brother still has, they haven't solved, which is the casting, repetitive of games, and the twists don't mean anything, and it's just too much. I'm sorry. Jiggle for me. Can't flush it, but it's a jiggle.
It's a piggle here. Jay's right. I mean, the casting still needs to be worked on. The challenges still need to be worked on. And the twists need to last more than a month, okay? So, yeah, it's a piggle for me.
I'm Mr. Contrarian this time around. I thought the casting last season worked. Jack Bane's winning the whole thing. I thought the right contestant won. I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, when Jack Bane's won. And this is the second straight Big Brother where you have two minority contestants winning. So I don't think casting is the issue here. Actually, you're more than two straight. I think you're up to three or four at this point. Chico, you could be the walking referential here.
I'll check.
But I think... Oops. I don't think the casting is the issue. If you want to give me an argument that the games are repetitive, sure. And the strategy may be a little bit stale, sure. You may have to juice that up. But not the casting. It was the past two seasons of Big Brother between Taylor and Jack have been compelling. So I'm curious to see what they do. As long as you keep them with the new contestants, you're fine. I think you run into trouble when you cast the same people that have been on the show and that you see a bunch of free captured play. But no, I'm intrigued. Keep the new contestants. You've got me, pastry.
Okay. Oh, and by the way, it is three seasons in a row where people of color.
Okay.
Xavier was the first.
Xavier, Taylor, and then Jack.
Jack.
No, I don't have an issue with the casting at all. I think the casting is doing its job correctly. Now let's spruce up the games a little bit. Spruce up some strategy. That part I agree with you guys on. But
okay.
This is Big Brother, and they do have twists. Some of them work better than others, but I'll give it a base screen.
Okay, good. Next one.
The best thing Elizabeth Banks has done since Power Rangers in 2017. That is season 6 of Press Your Luck.
Again, it's one of the better shows on television, and you know what? The bonus round works. I've got around to it. Push this one hard.
This is the best game show reboot of the last 10 years. The best. It's a big push for me.
I don't think it's the best reboot from the past 10 years, and I don't even think it's the best reboot from the past season. That, for me, goes to split second. That being said, this is a fantastic reboot, and it's definitely much deep push.
And then later that night, the premiere of Lucky 13.
I'm at the T bar for this one. I am totally at the T bar for this one.
Okay. By the way, hosted by Shaquille O'Neal and Gina Rodriguez, and executive produced by Kevin Bacon. It's going to be the American version of a British TV show. And I remember this when it was called Easiest Game Show Ever. So I'm going to go with a piggle here.
Okay, I know way too many people that are involved with this. I'm going to give it a push. It may be a tentative push, but there's so many people that I know that happen to be on the show or part of it. I am going to give my hopes up that this is going to work and work well. There's too much good talent here, and I am going to give faith on it. So I am blind faith on pushing.
That's fair. It really does. Next, Hulu's new one, Dress My Tour, which is basically Project Runway with a rock and roll bent, hosted by Kate Upton. That is the correct reaction, Jason.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. Okay. And it looks, this is, I'm looking at this. No, I'm sorry. We've seen this before and not better. Jiggle, really?
Jiggle. I'm ready to, I love Kate Upton. I really do. But this needs to be flushed.
Flushed? Not, okay.
I'm going to be contrary again. It looks interesting. It looks fascinating. The one thing that I am going to say, which is why I'm going to pastry it, is we haven't seen much fashion shows at all. I know Project Runway is coming back. I don't know when. I don't know if Next in Fashion is coming back. I don't think they are. I don't know about... And you can... I'm not going to even try to pronounce the other fashion show just because I know I'm going to mutilate it. I like Kate Upton. And why not? I'll give this a try. I'll pastry it.
All right.
There's nothing... I mean, it's Kate Upton, and it looks sort of strange, but it's a fashion show. And fashion shows aren't supposed to be strange.
Right.
So I'll give it a benefit. I'll pastry it.
Okay. And finally, we don't have a date for this, but Tic-Tac-Doe is going to premiere sometime maybe this summer on GSN.
Yep. At worst case scenario, we send it to fall and we play push or flush with it again. But in the meantime, Brooke Burns is amazing. She is absolutely amazing. And she has hosted two great shows for Game Show Network. Can this be the third? Does she have the third in her? I think she does. I'm going to give it a pastry.
Pastry for me, too. The format is good. Let's see what happens.
I hate the format of this show. Both of you guys know how much I despise the format of this show. I know when I saw the demo... They changed and fixed a lot of things that made me go, you know what? This may not nearly be as bad as the classic version. I will, again, on principle, and again, we haven't seen this, and Game Show Network has done very well recently with the new shows. I will pastry this also, but I probably, from the three of us, will have the shortest leash on this, and I'll be ready to turn on this.
We understand that. That's fair.
But I'll pastry it.
All right. Okay. Everybody grab your magic beating sticks.
Okay, I've got mine. I've got my safety glasses on.
All
one.
Right. Two.
Three! Kill the toilet!
Kill the toilet!
What, we got guns? Wait! We got cannons? What? Hey! Don't shoot at me! Don't you shoot at me!
I'm not shooting at you! That's supposed to be an explosion! That's a really big one, is all!
Okay, wow!
Yeah,
okay!
I don't know what that was, but sure!
Okay, but now that I have to vacuum up this mess, it's time for a speed round, and we'll do that right after this here at 5-1. One more break, and we're out of here. See you in a bit.
WLTI is presented by Winning Lines 25th Anniversary Edition, because the world needs the Wonderwall now more than ever. Well, sure, other game shows have 100 contestants, but we can do just fine with 49, thank you very much. That is Winning Lines 25th Anniversary. Somebody, anybody, make this happen, please. I miss the Wonderwall.
Wasn't that, my God, so... Isn't it also 25th anniversary agreed too?
Yep.
Wow. My God, we've been doing this stuff for 25 years, on and off. Wow, crazy.
I have another 25 in me, guys.
Oh, I do. But at least we have another few minutes for a speed round, and let's start it. Now, Jeopardy. We're still in sort of a Wheel of Champions mode, especially after a bad bet by a champion the other day.
Yeah, but five-day champion, and Abby Mann is now your new champion, and now she's gone into Wheel of Champions, so that's something to look forward to. Seven shows in Wheel of Fortune season left. Does Pat go out with a millionaire?
No, he does not, but we had a $100,000 loss tonight.
Of course he goes out with a millionaire. He's going to take Van away to dinner.
Yeah,
Da-da-da-da-da.
Exactly. Yeah, next week is going to be hard. Okay, so who does Gottmik and Nina West give their badges to?
Oh. Gottmik cuts off Porteous.
Right.
So that's going to be fair. That's actually a really good game because Porteous is emerging as a favorite. So you gotta admire the queens for playing the game. You gotta admire them for playing the game.
No, but I'm asking you, Gordon. I'll ask you this, Gordon. Who do you think gets the badges?
If I'm smart. I'm giving it to Chanel.
Or both of them, or one of them?
No,
one. You're not
going
to get both.
How about one to Roxy Andrews?
Yeah, one to Roxy Andrews, who has shown that she can get to the end, but she ain't going to win. And then one to Chanel.
So give ones that have zero. Okay, that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Top Chef, we're down to the final. Well, we were down to the final five, but now it's going to be a sixth chef joining. But who will be leaving for good this time?
I'm actually thinking Manny, because he's had five lows. He's the most person with lows. And by the way, Danny has never been low. Watch for him to win the whole thing.
I agree. It's going to be Danny.
There is a clear... Yeah, it's Danny's to lose, but there's a clear divide between the top three, who is Dan, Danny, and Michelle, and everybody else.
Correct.
So I'll say Manny go bye-bye.
Manny go bye-bye. Mm-hmm. All right, mail time. Who's got some? Nobody. Okay. But you can send us some at WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com. You can follow us on all social media at GameshowNewsNet. I am Dino R. Alexander.
I am adjacent. I'm sorry, Beat the Block with the two at the end.
I am GSN and Haterade.
The network is at 5and1net. That is 5andoneNET on all social media. You find out what we're doing network-wide. Jay and I and VRM and Ian are sort of on a sabbatical until the next sort of business breaks on the NFL.
Like around July, maybe? Maybe June or July?
Maybe mid-June, mid-July, as we get ready to talk more about the upcoming season on the BS Big Show.
Because I believe, I'm just looking when NFL training camps open up for good, because right now we're in OTAs, okay?
Yes. Right now we're in OTAs.
And I'm actually looking for the key dates for the NFL season, but I know the NFL training camps will
mid-June. Okay.
Yeah, well, those are mini camps, actually.
All right, but the actual...
Oh, mid to late July is when the training camps open. So, yeah, around then. We'll be back.
So, look for a new episode then. Meanwhile, Jay, what's going on the NAWC?
Oh, nothing. Let's just see. MJF returns on AEW, along with Edge, Adam Copeland breaking his leg on a move he shouldn't have done. On NXT, we had the Forbidden Door open with Jordan Grace challenging Roxanne Perez for her title. And Dominic Mysterio playing tonsil hockey with Liv Morgan. Not exactly, you know, and mommy ain't going to be happy about that. But we are heading towards, in 2 weeks from Saturday, Clash at the Castle, where Drew McIntyre is going to, which is probably going to take the belt from Damian Priest in his home country of Scotland. Do not be surprised for that by any stretch of the imagination.
Plus, I hear David Zaslav's about to screw up the AEW rights.
That's possible, too. Also, Gordon, saw you on Caffeine TV. By the way, you look terrific. You really look good.
Thank you. Did you catch me this weekend?
I caught you in the tag team match, and I did not realize about the whole tag team rules and subbing out and rolling frames. That's a very interesting strategy now with that. I did not know that.
That's what makes tag team fun. That was a classic matchup. The end game 7 was amazing. It literally came down to the last shot.
Right.
So, you know, that was great. But we're coming down the home stretch. This is the end of the road. It's the last tour stops that are coming up, and for some teams, it will be the end of the road. Other teams will continue to keep on trucking the playoffs in July. It starts in the DMV. They finish off their season, and then we go from there. So June, there's going to be a lot of action going on. It's going to be fast, furious, and very loud.
Okay. And so I believe that is it. Oh, no, that's right. It was a thing. My apologies. Sorry.
We're wrapping up pilot month with two new pilots this week, and I can talk about them because it's after midnight on the East Coast as we record this. Monday, we dropped How I Met Your Dad, which is sort of the spiritual successor to How I Met Your Mother, which, by the way, features a future Academy Award-nominated writer and director in the lead role. Did a little art house film from 2023 named Barbie. Don't know if you've heard of it. And the second is a look back at the Bob Stewart, Jim Perry opus from 1982, Twisters. And that's going to round out our pilot month. And we begin our summer schedule next week, so be on the lookout for that. Speaking of our summer schedule, we have a summer schedule here on WLTI where we review game shows and go over summer game shows, including America's Got Talent, Jeopardy, Top Chef, Drag Race, and the premieres of Beat the Bridge and Celebrity Family Food Battle. That title is way too cumbersome. I'm sorry. So all of that is coming up next week as we reconvene for the World's Strongest with Jordan Pepper, with Jason Block. I'm Chico Alexander. Sister's telling me to go to bed, so I'm going to be just mad. Until next week, our time is up. We thank you for your game books and special guests.
Interrupt this program.